Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Like Stars podcast. I'm your host, Pete Goodman. And today we are going to dive into a really deep, problematic, difficult question, which has come in from a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. Just summarized simply, we're going to talk about the problem of evil in this episode. Why does God allow bad things to happen? What does that mean for our understanding of him and theology? So yeah, we're gonna take it apart and see what we can come to terms with and how we can think about it, think through it. So glad you're joining us, and hopefully this is a helpful one. Before I dive into that, a couple small things. First, as always, I kind of say this in every episode, I'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments, feedback, anything you'd like to say, you can find me on social media, Like Stars on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can also shoot me an email, pete@risecitychurch.com. That's the email of the church that I work for. And yeah, anything you want to say. And I'd also love, you know, if you can share any episodes or have any, just even to leave a review would be great. I would love to hear your feedback. It's always super helpful to hear from you. Also, just another reminder, I've said this on a few episodes now, don't forget, you can listen to my entire New Testament survey video series on audio or video on YouTube. They're all available on my Like Stars YouTube channel. You can also find them separately on their own podcast. You can go to my likestars.us website to find all of that, likestars.us, links to everything. And yeah, just a lot available for you. Speaking of stuff that's available for you, on this episode, you know, partly because I actually have something I really want to say and partly because it's a heavier episode, rather than kind of the jokey stuff I usually do on here, I want to take a moment in my normal here's the sponsor thing to talk about something that's actually real and kind of cool. The church that I work for, Rise City Church. So the sponsor maybe for this episode is just a shout out. Our church actually recently recorded their own live worship album of songs that were written here by the church, our worship pastor, Ben, and some others. And it is phenomenal. It's so good. It's called All the Praise, Rise City Church Worship. And you can find it on Spotify, on Apple, all those different places. If you go to risecitychurch.com, you can find it. It's also available on Rise City's, all their social media. It's called All the Praise, and it is phenomenal. It's so good. Been listening to it a ton in my car. My kids are always asking for it. No, I'm not getting any money for this, but it really is great. And I just want to give a shout out because I'm so proud of the team. I'm so proud of all the people that put it together. They did a great job. It really sounds good. And I think it'll be something you'll enjoy listening to. So check it out. All the Praise, Rise City Worship is available now. And I'll also include a link to it probably in the show notes of this episode. So yeah, with that, I didn't want to spend a ton of time. I want to get into it because this is a heavy topic. And I don't have here's a specific email that came in. This has just been in the year that I've been doing this podcast and people have sent in questions and things. There's always been some form of this. Why does God let this happen? How do you explain this? You know, why does God allow autism? Why is this person dying of cancer and things like that? And I have been hesitant to take any one of those individual questions because I didn't want to just give it a flippant, kind of trite response. I wanted to be able to take time. And so I just said, here's a moment. We are doing this thing called Rooted, which is a really great discipleship program here at my church. I encourage you to check that out as well, another sponsor. But one of the topics came up in a recent week together of, you know, how do we make sense of this? And I was able to have a lunch with a friend the other day and just talk about it a little bit, their own experience, somebody who's a Christian and a follower of Jesus, somebody who believes all the things that the Bible teaches about who God is and God's goodness and all this stuff, and then suddenly faced with catastrophe, someone potentially even passing away, a close family member. And it's like, why does God allow this? And so I decided just to spend some time on this podcast talking about it. I want to say from the beginning, right before I even get started, there's no easy answer here. And if you're hoping that, oh, great, Like Stars, Pete's going to put out an episode and fix everything, I can't fix everything. If there was an easy answer, we would all have it. In fact, you know, I've talked in the past how there have been moments where I've been able to do interactions with people who are maybe arguing against faith, whether, you know, atheists or different things. The problem of evil is the number one most commonly used issue to argue against Christianity. because it basically, there's logic to it. It makes sense. Christians say that God is all powerful. He can do anything. Christians say that God knows everything. He's aware of everything, and that he is good and he's love. Well, so that means he knows that there's evil and brokenness. He knows that people are dying and suffering. He has the power to stop it. He's capable to just snap his finger and end it all. And if he loves us, he should want to. A good God would stop evil. If you knew something bad was going to happen and you had the power to stop it, you would if you're a good person. So why doesn't God? This is the problem of evil. And it's a plague for many people in their thought process and their minds. And there's two sides to it as well. And even in answering or talking it through, because on the one hand, you have what I would call the logical or the reasonable, the intellectual side of it, where you say, this feels like a logical problem. I'm struggling with the reasonable. How can X and Y both be true but not Z, kind of thing? But then there's also the emotional side. Even those of us that have wrestled with it and maybe come to a logical place of, okay, this makes sense to me, but it just bugs me and it hurts me. One of the people that I've mentioned on this podcast that's been a big influence on my life is the author C.S. Lewis. And I remember going through C.S. Lewis's works while I was in seminary, and he wrote an incredible book called The Problem of Pain that seeks to address this intellectually. And he really does a good job. I would encourage you, The Problem of Pain is a really, really good book. I would suggest it to anyone who's wrestling with this intellectual problem. And in this book, he really does a good job of talking through some of the logical, intellectual responses to the problem. And I'll hit on some of those in this episode. But then if you follow Lewis's career after having written that book and gotten some acclaim for it and being recognized as someone that gave a really good answer, Lewis's wife passed away. And he ended up writing another book called A Grief Observed, where he just writes his thoughts and feelings dealing with the pain, dealing with the suffering. And at no point does he go back and say, well, I was wrong in the previous book. Those were bad answers. It's more just like, but now that it's become personal, it's different for me. And so dealing with the problem of evil has both an intellectual side and a personal side. Now, I say that because the harsh truth that I can't escape is I do think there are some intellectual, logistical, logical answers that we can give to this problem that maybe protect God from being a logical problem. Like, that can't be true. Well, actually it can, and here's why. But the emotional side of it, I don't have as much for, because in many ways there isn't as much for, but we'll talk a little bit about it. I remember the first time I had this moment, and I'll share it with you. I had just gotten married to my wife, Julie. We had this incredible wedding ceremony, and it was just it was a party. We had such a good time. And, we went on our honeymoon, which was fantastic. Got back from our honeymoon, and I had taken a job in Kansas from Illinois, where we were living. And we packed up our car and started driving to Kansas to start a new life together. And so I'm in the car, and I'm riding with her, and I'm feeling whatever this thing about being a newlywed, everything is great. Everything is wonderful. There's this elation. There's this sense of goodness, and God, I'm grateful for all that God has done. And we're on the highway, and we're just, it's about a 10-hour drive, and we're talking about our future and what God is going to do, those kind of things. And all of a sudden we hit traffic in the middle of the interstate, in the middle of nowhere. Like, oh, great. I'm upset already. Just so we know, it's funny how quickly your mood can go from happy to and grateful to irritated so quickly. So we're sitting in line. I don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, over the next like 10 minutes, you kind of get closer and closer. And then I start to see the police lights, and you start to see, okay, it's an accident. And the traffic is super slowed down. So we're driving like, maybe 10 miles an hour. And all of a sudden we come up on what had caused all this problem. And it's just carnage. There's two cars that just destroyed each other. Metal, glass everywhere, police, ambulances, all this kind of stuff, people standing by. And, it was a nicer day, so our windows were down. And I just have this vivid memory of driving past this and looking out the window. And this picture just ingrained in my brain of a young girl, probably in her early teens, screaming and tears just flowing, and she's being held back by what must have been her father. She's trying to run back to this car where you just see a body covered in a sheet. And she got out of his grip and she fell to her knees and sobbing, and he caught her again. And I've never forgotten that, because there I was confronted with this amazing, confusing intersection that I think so many of us can relate to in our lives. Julie and I are experiencing one of the greatest moments of our life, full of beauty and joy and thanking God for his goodness. And then we drive past another person who's experiencing what must have probably been the worst, most difficult, painful moment of their life, and death. How strange it is that life is filled with such distinction, and we wrestle with it. It's a question that all of us have to wrestle with, because we, as Christians, I believe that God is good, that God is love. God gave me a wife, and God gave me this great opportunity to, you know, and it's like, yes, he's good. And then wait, but God, why did you allow that? And so many of you listening, you can relate. You can think of those moments that you believe God is good, but then something terrible happens and you're just like, where is he? And addressing this question is huge, because it says something about God and his character. We can talk about this idea of God being a loving father, about being good and having our good in mind. The first episode I did in this podcast was all about God's goodness and how he has good things for you if you follow him. But then it's like, yeah, but sometimes, where is that good God when Hitler, mass murders, brain tumors and children, people being sold into sex slavery, where is that good God? Is he responsible for it? Is he ignorant of it? Is he ignoring it? He has the power, doesn't he? Does he not have the power? Are we wrong? How do we as Christians understand and think through this enormous issue? And it's a real problem. If God claims to be love for humanity, how do you explain the news? As I'm even recording this episode, there's a major crisis happening in the Middle East. Israel is being attacked. And where is God? Everywhere we look, it feels like there's darkness in the world. Yeah, there's goodness, but how do you explain the badness? How can we say he created a good world and he's God of love and mercy? And so for many people, this is a huge hurdle. I know people who have literally walked away from Christianity because of this. I just can't get my mind around it. So I can't accept this God anymore. And we often, many of us, we go to church and we hear all about God's goodness and love. Then we face pain and difficulties. Like, what do I do with it? How can both of these things be true? So what we need to do is we need to at least offer some kind of response. It's important to offer. I don't want to just throw my, like, there has to be some kind of response, even just logically. And so that's what we're going to do. Again, the emotional side is a lot harder, but I want to talk about some logical reasons why we can think through this and still hold to our faith. Theologians called these theodicies. A theodicy is basically a defense of God or an explanation of God. Because we believe certain things are true, but then how do you explain these things? So again, let me start by saying there's no easy answer here. If you're hoping that I was just going to snap my fingers and, you know, everything, it's not the way it works. This trips people up. It's a huge barrier for faith. It's a difficult issue, but I do think there are some ways we can think it through. As I often do, let me start by giving you a few things that I don't think are good answers. Some people want to relieve the problem of evil by denying God's power. Well, maybe he just can't. I've heard some people go as far, and this even kind of seeps in, like that evil and God are in like this cosmic war, and like God is struggling to overcome and win. Almost like he and the devil are like equal partners, and all the bad stuff is the devil, and God's just like, oh, I can't stop him, you know, come on. But that's not the picture of God we see in the scripture. That is not. Denying God's omnipotence, his power, is not the way to go. God does have power. There's no cosmic war between God and anyone else. If there's a cosmic war, the Bible says it's between us and powers of evil. God does whatever he wants. He's in complete power. Others might say, well, maybe God doesn't know. Maybe God's not aware of it. Again, I think it's a bad idea. God is aware. God knows. God knows, and he has the power. I don't think attacking either of those things is helpful. Some then try to say, like, well, maybe evil isn't real. Maybe it's an illusion. Christian scientists, like, I don't want to go there. Evil is real. Pain is real. God knows it, and God has the power to stop it. I think we just have to accept those things. So this gets us to the idea then of God's goodness. Why doesn't he do anything about it? Now, here we have two directions we can take. And this is where we have to be very careful. One direction people take is that God allows, sometimes maybe even encourages, maybe even behind some of it, because good things come out of evil. And that ultimately more good comes out of evil. And so therefore a good God allows / encourages whatever. I think that is very, very problematic. Yes, sometimes good things happen or come out of badness. Well, you know, the Bible even says perseverance and persecution leads to perseverance. And like we grow through pain. Yes. But to say that God is encouraging suffering just because something better comes out of it gets us into a lot of trouble, And I think it just creates more problems than it, you know, like, so what, God allows a child to be raped because that child can have a testimony later in life? I don't buy that stuff. No. I think there's a better way forward, talking about God's goodness and the part of God's goodness that isn't allowing this just because more good, whatever. There's let's be more precise. Okay. So let me give you what I would say are three kind of core responses, and they flow together. The first one's the biggest one, and we're gonna spend the most time on it. Talking about the Odyssey, defending why does God know this, have the power to stop it, is loving and good, but yet doesn't stop it. And this is again, I'm gonna say this again, because I wanna make sure we're clear on it. This is a intellectual, logical answer, okay? It's not an emotional one. You may hear it, and maybe you're suffering now and you're in pain. You're like, Pete, that doesn't make me feel better. Again, I'm trying to separate these two. I understand that, but this is a logical answer. And I think there's truth in it that we just sometimes need to know. I do not in any way believe that God is behind evil. The Bible says there's no evil in him. God is love. God is goodness. Therefore, there must be another explanation. And I would say it's this. I think that where we land as Christians is to understand and believe that God, in his what we call sovereignty, his power, his might, his control, he's in charge. He created it. He decided it. He wanted it a certain way. And here's how he wanted it. He has ordered the universe with rules and laws that govern all life. And those rules and laws that govern our reality, that govern our universe, our existence, are necessary for the world that God wants and the life that he wants for us, but they have sometimes implications that cut both ways. Let me explain this. And I'm going to be a little bit, again, I'm trying very hard to make it clear that this is an argument, an intellectual thing, I know that there's pain in some of this, but intellectually speaking, if a small child falls out of a window and dies, it's horrible. Evil. It's bad. That sucks. It's terrible. However, that doesn't mean that we should be angry at God for creating gravity. Does that make sense? The universe needs gravity to function. It was a terrible thing to see a young girl crying on the side of the road after losing a loved one in a car crash. However, I'm grateful for the laws of nature that allow my car to work. I'm grateful that friction and combustion and gravity are all in velocity are all at play so that I can drive from one place to the other. So the very laws of nature that allow a car to work also can lead to someone getting killed in a car. The very laws of nature that allow us to walk around on the planet mean that sometimes people can fall down and get hurt. The fire that keeps us warm can also burn us. And we know that, right? We know that, but we have to keep it in the forefront of our mind. The same rules that apply to all living things on earth sometimes work for our benefit and sometimes work against us. It's simply the way God designed it. And Jesus actually touches on this, because in the ancient world, everybody thought if something bad happens, it's because you sin and God is punishing you, right? Like the sin is, like your sin is leading to something bad. Good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. That was kind of the way the world worked, what they thought. And the book of Job wants to contradict this and say, no, it doesn't. But then Jesus, they says it himself, Jesus, you know, who sinned that led to this person being in this pain and suffering? And Jesus replies and basically says, that's not the way the world works. In Matthew 5:45, he says, God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And in that context, you know, the sun on the evil and the good, and rain, sun and rain can be both good things and bad things, right? The sun and the rain cause crops to grow, right? But sun can also burn us and rain can drown us. So it's like the world that he's created can cut both ways. The laws of the universe are set in place, and whether you're a good person or an evil person, God isn't punishing, or it's not, it doesn't work that way. Rain was a blessing to a farming community, but also a curse if too much came. And Jesus was saying the laws of the universe are in place for everyone, good and bad, deserving or not. So the world that has been created has good things that can also lead to consequences. And so that's, you might be like, Pete, that's pretty simplistic. It is, but it's also a baseline that we build from, because, okay, fine, gravity, fire, get those things. But here's the deal. Along with gravity, along with combustion, along with these other parts of our world that God set laws in motion, another rule or law that God built into the fabric of his universe was simply free will, like agency. He gave his creatures the ability and right to make decisions. And the thing about free will is you can't be free and not free at the same time. Like, there you now create a logical inconsistency. So when I say, why does God allow these things to happen? It's because primarily, first and foremost, he created a universe with free choice and free will and for things to happen. So he creates gravity, and then we use it how it can, you know, like it can be good and it can be bad. He creates free will from a human agency, from a human being, and you can do whatever you want with it. And I would say the greatest response to why evil exists, if God is love, is that God in his love gave us humans the freedom to make choices. And in doing so, we can choose evil or good. You know, for example, seeing children in Asia being sold into sexual slavery isn't proof that God doesn't exist or that he is actually behind it or working out some bigger plan. It's simply proof that people are evil and are choosing to satisfy their own sin at the cost of others. And this is something we have to come to terms with. Most of the pain that we want to blame God for is really humanity disobeying what God told us to do. He told us how to use our free will. He instructed us in how we should live and behave in order to bring about goodness in our world. And just to clear, just like your driving instructor told you how to drive in order to bring about goodness with your car. And when you teach a child not to play with matches, you're instructing them on how best to use fire. God doesn't leave us alone in an empty world. He says this is the best way to behave in it. And that goes, that alone right there is the point of my entire podcast. Everything Like Stars is about, wisdom, is God saying, let me show you how best to function within the world I created. If you follow me and you pattern your life and your behavior the way I want you to, you'll bring goodness. If you don't, you bring brokenness and evil. If you drive the car the right way, follow speed rules, things like that, more often than not, it'll work well. If you get drunk and drive crazy and stupid, you're going to bring chaos. If you treat people the way I want them treated, the world will be a good place. If you abuse and hurt each other, it won't be. Free will cuts both ways. And so these laws don't require you to believe in God. They just are. Whether you're a strong Christian or an atheist, if you hang out in your trailer home during a tornado, you're going to be in trouble. This is the laws of nature. And this is the harsh reality of life on planet Earth, that sometimes the way that God has set up the universe makes evil, and I want to be careful what I say here, evil becomes a necessary accompaniment for it to function. Here's what I don't mean, okay? I don't mean that evil is part of some greater good. I don't mean that. I don't mean like, well, God wanted that murder to happen because something better is going to happen. I'm saying the possibility for you to murder is inherent in the way the world created, in the way that God created the world. It's not that God wants you to murder in order to bring about some other good. It's that God wants you to have freedom to live. And so these laws and rules are necessary for all of us, even though sometimes they lead to disaster, even death. If we didn't have natural laws of velocity, friction, combustion, no one would ever die in car accidents, but we wouldn't have cars. And if we didn't have freedom to make decisions and choices, yeah, we would never hurt each other, but we would never really love each other either. If we didn't have free will, we would never abuse anyone else, but we would never be kind to anyone else. We'd never love anyone else. We would just be robots. We'd be automatons. There's no love without choice. And that is difficult, right? There is no such thing as love without choice, because love is a decision that you make. And God is love. So if God wants his creatures to be made in his image, they have to have the ability to choose. And this is huge to understand. Free will requires choice, and choice requires the potential for choosing wrongly. God wants a relationship with us, not forced slavery. And that's hard to get our brains around, right? Because we're like, wait a second. But so much pain, so much suffering. I get it. But what's the alternative? Think about the alternative for a second. Think about the alternative of living in a world that any decision that you ever made that didn't align with God's will, he just stopped you. What would you be? What would we be as humans? How would we function? It just wouldn't make any sense. And so, yes, it's evil. It's bad. It's pain. It's suffering. I'm not taking away from that. I'm not saying that God wants it to happen. I'm just saying that the way that God created the world, that's the other side of the coin that must exist. If free will is what God wants to give his creatures, then the decision to choose wrongly has to exist. It can't be both ways. God cannot give you free will, but then also stop you from doing things he doesn't want you to do. That's not free will. The minute God stops you, you've lost free will. And so I think that's the basic concept that we live with as humans on planet Earth. I also want to say, like, what the scriptures tell us is that our understanding of creation and God's intention and fall are at play here. Like I mentioned, God did not intend for this evil. God didn't intend for humans to treat each other this way. He intended for something very different and much better. It's our decision to reject him, to walk away from him, that has created this problem. We were created and intended to choose his wisdom and his goodness and to live by it. And so we see that our decision to reject him has brought cursing and brokenness to our planet. Sin and wickedness and all these kind of things are a result of us mismanaging and enduring things. So when we shake our fist at God and say, why do you let this happen? I think we should pause and say, wait a minute, what is our responsibility in this? I think that's just a reality that we have to deal with. And so sin and evil, a great part of them are just an aspect of our own decisions and our own choices. So I don't think it's a good response to say that all evil is bringing about a greater good. I don't think that. And I want to be careful in my language here. I would rather say that the potential for evil is a greater good. Now, just let me say that again. There's a difference. All evil is bringing about a greater good. Not necessarily. No, some evil is just evil. But the potential for evil is itself a greater good, because the opposite of that is for you and I to be robots and have no choice or no freedom in our lives. I don't think that children dying of AIDS is part of some higher purpose. I don't think that it's a solid defense of God. I just think God's image bearers rejecting his rule and trying to run the planet ourselves rather than trusting him is what leads to so much brokenness. And a God who in his goodness promises to take it and use it is a big deal. Evil is not necessary to bring about a greater good. It's simply the other side of choice and free will. Now, I have a couple more points here. I'm still kind of the first one, but I do want to include something here. Someone say, well, okay, Pete, I get murder, but what about disease? You know, and there's two answers to that. Parts of the world that are bring about pain and suffering, tsunamis, things like that. I want to open the door for two potential answers here, and you can pick the one that you want or the one that you align more with. Depending on your view of creation, the answer to that question can be different. So people who align themselves more closely with a kind of a literal reading of Genesis that sees the earth as, 7,000 years old, which I respect, I understand, would say that a lot of those things are a curse. They're part of the curse. They were brought about in creation, that even death itself, all of these things. And so even then, human agency is part of it. which I think is a reasonable response. On the other hand, if you are someone, and I've shared on this podcast that I tend to be more of an old earth person, I think God uses processes and even things like evolution. I think, again, you're at a similar point, that an open world that is allowed to change and evolve and shift over time can change for the good or the bad. And so we live in an open universe. I personally believe, this is my opinion, I personally believe we live in an open universe, and that there's goodness that comes from it. That there's beauty in all the changes and genetic shifts that have brought about so much different kinds of life and good things in God's plan and ultimate design. But sometimes it also shifts for the bad. And the same ability of DNA to morph or to change to become a new interesting kind of form of dog or something can also go the wrong way and create disease. Again, I think both of those are potential answers. I'm not saying which one you should believe or not. I'm just saying Christianity does have a response depending on where you land there. So do I feel good about it? Do I wish that God would step in and fix everything? Man, yeah, I do. But that brings me to kind of, I guess, my second point, and I'll have two more. These will be shorter. I actually do think God does intervene. There's no doubt from Scripture that God is in the business of miracles. I mean, how can you read the Bible and not think that God sometimes intervenes? People who say, if God is love, why doesn't he ever step in? Have you read the Bible? I remember when I was going through some of this stuff, you know, when we first got married, one of Julie's favorite verses was Isaiah 64:4 that says, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. And I actually do believe that our God acts on behalf of us, that we serve a God who does sometimes step in. I believe in prayer. I believe in this. I don't believe God is a vending machine that I push a button and get whatever I want. I don't believe he'll always answer my prayers, but I do think he intervenes. You know, here's another, take this for what it's worth. I'm just throwing this out there. You see something bad happen and you say, God, why didn't you stop it? Well, how do you know he hasn't stopped thousands of bad things from happening? How do you know he hasn't already? You only know the things that happened. How do you know that he hasn't done all kinds of things to stop things? I hear about miracles and God's intervention all the time. I'm not saying that people who follow God will always have everything work out. I know that. Like, even the most righteous will suffer and the rain will fall on us. There's no promise in Scripture that says Christians will avoid pain. The opposite. But I will say that the closer I walk with God and the more I'm in line with his word and the more I seek him and pray him, the more I do see him intervene and bring about goodness in my life sometimes. I have experienced miracles and intervention. I do think that God acts on behalf of those who wait for him and pray and seek his face. I believe in it. So I will pray for the sick. I will pray in my own life when I'm in need. I will pray for those who are suffering and in pain and ask God to do something. Trusting that sometimes that he does. He doesn't always, and I don't always know why, but sometimes he does. He's there, he's real. So yeah, I do believe that God is active and involved, and I seek him for it. Which brings me to my last point, it might feel like I'm contradicting myself, so I want to be clear. I don't believe that God causes pain in order to bring, I don't believe that God causes evil, sorry, evil. Some things are painful and God is disciplining us. I don't believe that God causes evil in order to bring about good. However, the beauty of the Scriptures, the beauty of the gospel is that God promises to bring about something good through evil. Now, think about the difference there. I'm not saying the Bible says God causes evil. I'm saying that the Bible does say that God will take evil and bring something for good if we commit to him. Romans 8:28 is such a powerful verse. We know that in all things, good and bad, God works for the good of those who love him. Now, Romans 8:28 is not saying that God will stop all evil from happening, that evil will never happen, nor is it saying that God uses evil. He is saying that everything that happens in the world, if we will commit ourselves to him, God promises to take it and use it for good in this life or the next. And it can be one of the hardest parts to talk about because it can almost come across as like a cop-out. Oh, well, you know, brother, the Lord works in mysterious ways. That's not what I'm saying. What does it even mean? How do you explain to a young girl crying on the side of the road, a child starving in Africa or dying of AIDS, the Lord works in mysterious ways? That's not what I'm saying. I am saying, though, that God promises to take those ashes and make something beautiful out of them if we allow him to. I know that God sees a bigger picture of life than we do. I know that God sees the potential to do something good, to bring up a garden out of burnt and desolate areas if we will trust him and follow him and commit to his ways. And that some of the most painful, difficult things I have gone through in my life have brought about beauty and goodness in my life. I have grown because of them. I don't look back and say God caused that, but I do look back and say God didn't let it go to nothing. And that's the powerful thing right there. God didn't let my pain and suffering be for nothing. He said, I'm going to use it. There's a great passage in Isaiah where I'm chopping off my head right now. He said, every blood-stained piece of clothing, every warrior's boot, everything that has blood on it, God is going to use for fuel for the fire. And the context is after battle, the winning side would come back and take all of their clothes that were now bloodied and soiled, and they would throw them in a huge pit and light them on fire and have a party and celebrate the victory. And he's saying, like, all the pain, the suffering, God can bring good to it. It's not saying he caused it. He's saying he can bring something good to it. He can take the hurt and the pain and bring something good out of it. And there are no promises that you will never feel pain. Life is tough. We live in an open world with free will, and that's going to create problems. And simple arguments and philosophies don't change that. They don't always make us feel better, right? But when that pain or uncertainty comes in and tempts you to ask yourself if God is even there, does he care? He does. He is there. He sometimes does intervene. But even if he doesn't, it's important for you to be firmly rooted in your heart that he loves you and he will take that pain and difficulty and bring something good out of it. Whether forget about how it was caused. That's not the issue here. It's that he promises to use it. And that, guys, is so amazing. You say, I'm going to walk away from Christianity because pain happens. Well, then what? Then what's going to become of your pain? Like, what is the response then? Like, if you remove God, pain is still in the world. The promises that God gives us is not to be free of suffering, but to use it and bring good from it. And it's only in Christianity, it's only in Jesus that we find that. It's only in Jesus who took the greatest suffering and pain on the cross and walked out of the grave and said, because of this pain, I am now going to free all of you from the power of sin. He gave an example of what it looks like for God to take something evil and broken and painful and say, let me bring up a garden out of this graveyard. And we live in a world that has rules and natural laws that affect us, but we also follow a God who says, I can take something good here. And we follow a God who also says, let me give you my wisdom to navigate those rules and laws in a healthy way. Listen, I know that we can always throw out the outlier. Well, what about a tsunami? What about this? But almost all evil in the world comes from our dumb decisions. And when you align your life with God's wisdom, it's better, period. It's better. It's not perfect, but it is better. So removing God and saying, I'm giving up on this Christian thing because of evil doesn't lead you anywhere. It is the story of Christianity. It is the resurrection. It is God defeating the power of sin that is actually doing something about the evil and the brokenness in our world rather than just ignoring it or whatever. It just is what it is. God wants to see us through it. God wants to bring goodness. God wants to change the way that we live and behave in order to stop some of the evil from happening, right? God is calling you to follow and obey him because so much of our own way of living causes pain and suffering to other people. So following God's wisdom is part of dealing with this issue. God is involved. He wants to bring an end to it, and he's calling you and I to take a part in it. You and I are active agents who can bring about evil in the world, but we can also bring about goodness. We can also fight to end evil by obeying him and following his wisdom and trusting his word. And that's what it means to be a Christian. It's what it means to shine like stars. Your life looks different and better in a broken and evil world. Okay, I'm going to stop. I hope this was helpful. I know, as I said at the beginning, no easy answers, no perfect answers. But I do think there's a way forward as Christians here. So if you have any other questions, please reach out to me. If maybe you just want to talk, I'm available. I would love to. You know, I'll be honest, a big part of this episode came from someone that just wanted to have lunch with me this week and was pouring out their heart to me, and I appreciated it. I'm available, pete@risingchurch.com. Find me on social media, any of those. And yeah, I'm here however I can help. If you have other questions, send them my way. That's what I'm here for. So thanks, everyone. Yeah, I know this was heavy, but maybe there's somebody in your life that could use this, and you might consider sharing this episode with them so they can hear this perspective, however it can be a resource. That's what we're doing this for. So God bless you guys, and we will see you on the next episode. Thanks so much.
You consume me and I burn me alive when you're near.